Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Hey, if you are here for the first time, my name's Az. I'm the pastor here, as Beck mentioned before. We've been doing this thing for a couple of years now. We love it, and we love you, the church. We love this community, and we've been going through a book of the Bible, which is one of my favorites, the book of Acts, the kind of foundation book where the early church began, the Holy Spirit broke out, and then people were just coming to Jesus, left, right, and center, right? Who wouldn't love to see that right now, okay, in your workplace? And we've been sort of going through this book, and hopefully you've been reading along or listening to the podcast. It's amazing how many people we hear from that are just listening to the podcast from all over the place. And it's a real blessing that this Word of God is actually getting out there, which is great. We're going to continue the series today. And today, we're going to be really looking at the reality of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The good news that Jesus is the Son of God, came to earth on a rescue mission for you and I, died on a cross, rose again, gave us access back to God the Father. And today, if you've walked in here and you're thinking to yourself, maybe this God thing's not for me, maybe you got dragged in by a family member or something like that or a friend, can I just tell you, Jesus is for you. It's as simple as that. Jesus is for you. He loves you. And today, I just want to highlight that. I want to look again at how amazing Jesus is and how everyone needs Jesus in their life. John 3:16, one of the most famous passages of Scripture, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And today I really want to draw in on this passage of Scripture, just three words right there, that whoever believes. That whoever believes. That whoever believes will have eternal life. And as I said, this is a really scandalous passage of Scripture. John 3:16 is one of those ones that gets quoted so much that we lose its power. It's like, you know what I'm saying by that? It kind of loses its power. It becomes a little bit like the regular Scripture, right? The generic Scripture, God loves you. Like, you even say that, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Because it becomes so normal or generic, we lose its power. We've got to understand when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, this religious teacher of the time, this is before he was crucified, okay? And it was before his resurrection. So this is a prophetic word. And for Nicodemus, this is the most scandalous thing ever because he's a Jewish teacher and his eyes, God's heart was only for the Jews. So he's sitting there listening to Jesus going, whoever believes, shouldn't it be only the Jewish who believe? Or, you know, this is not about whoever for Nicodemus. And Jesus drops this before he goes to the cross. And understand that Jesus is for whoever believes. For whoever believes. Even last week, we looked at Luke 17:11-19. We looked at this moment where Jesus heals the lepers on the way to Jerusalem. He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers. Remember this from last week? Who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Hang on, he's not a Jew. Jesus loves whoever, whoever believes. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus knew this was outside of his call for the Jews. But he did it anyway. He loves everyone. Everyone. There is not discrimination with Jesus. I love that in the book of Acts, as we're looking at this sort of spread of the gospel, Jesus in Acts 1 verse 8, he calls out that you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Can you imagine in this moment, before the Holy Spirit breaks out for the Gentiles, which is us, which we're going to talk a bit about next week, okay? At this moment, the disciples with Jesus would have gone, "Oh, we're going to Samaria, we're going to go to Judea and we're going to find all the Jews there." No, he's going, "You're going to go find the Samaritans there. You're going to find all the enemies of God there and they're going to get the gospel that God loves them too." Jesus is for everyone. Last week, we saw an incredible moment after Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, he starts to reach out to all of those around him, as I said, the Samaritans and after Saul gets on his high horse and starts persecuting the church, they start heading out into all these areas. Samaria, as I said, was reached by Philip, Peter, and John. The church is on the run, as I said, because Paul, or Saul at that time, was on the hunt. He was trying to kill Christians. And last week, we looked at Simon the sorcerer, who was there and got reached by the gospel, okay? He got the Holy Spirit very wrong, tried to buy its power, missed it a little bit. But today, we're going to move on from that moment, directly after Simon the sorcerer has repented of his wrongdoing when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pick up from Acts 8, 25 to 36 today, okay? If you've got your Bible, we can read along. We're going to put a lot of scripture on the screen today. I was talking to Hanno. He was like, oh my gosh, mate, I've got all of Acts in here. But it's really important. And as I've said over the last few weeks, I really hope you're reading your Bible. I really hope you're reading your Bible and reading this for yourself, because the Holy Spirit, not only does he want to reveal through what I have to say, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you individually through the Word of God. And he'll highlight things that I'm not highlighting today to you if you give him the time. And so Acts 25, 36, this is directly after Simon the sorcerer repents. And it says this, after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and had testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. At this stage, they're still looking for the Jewish people in the Samaritan villages. They just don't know it yet. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is a great story. Philip gets told to go down south, and then as he's walking, the Holy Spirit speaks to him, hey, there's a man on a chariot, go towards the chariot. Goes up towards the chariot, just starts walking beside it. Here's this guy reading out aloud the book of Isaiah, okay? Very interesting, very peculiar day. And then he starts chatting to this eunuch, not someone who's unique, but a eunuch, okay? I think when I was a teenager, I used to always read, he was a eunuch, man. No, he was a eunuch. If you don't know what a eunuch is, this is a really interesting story, because eunuchs in that time, just to give you some context, eunuchs were people that were castrated, for a number of reasons, which doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. But eunuchs were often slaves for those that were high up, high power. And you actually read about eunuchs in the book of Daniel, when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they get taken away. Their master is a eunuch as well, okay? And often what would happen with slaves, they would get castrated to take away their future. It was actually to remove all of their power. You can never have kids. You'll never have a lineage of heritage. Eunuchs were also seen as unclean people. They were a sexual minority group, you could say. And not only that, eunuchs, because it says that this eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Now, we might think to ourselves, well, he went to temple. No, he wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. Jerusalem was a melting pot of religion. We actually don't know what the eunuch was doing there, but someone, as he was leaving, gave him the book of Isaiah. And he's reading it. And it says this. Remember, this book, by the way, Isaiah, is 700 years old before Jesus came, okay? So this prophetic word he's reading is all about Jesus, 700 years old, and here's Philip walking alongside, gets on this chariot with him, and then tells him the full message of Jesus and how much Jesus loves the eunuch. Amazing. Amazing moment. The full expression of love is outpoured on the eunuch from Ethiopia. He doesn't deserve it, but Philip knows that whoever believes shall not perish. It says this, as they traveled along the road in verse 36, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? By the way, nothing. If you're wondering, you don't need to do a 10-step course to get baptized. You don't need years of figuring it out. If you have a revelation of Jesus, you can get in the waters of baptism. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to baptize people. And can I tell you right now, if you feel unloved, unworthy, can I tell you, you are in the right place, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. And what I love about this story, it says this, and Philip, it says, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, sounds like a great place, and traveled about my heritage. I have no backing there. Preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, this little bit of scripture is going to mess with some theology in the room. I love getting in theological debates, okay, with people. I love to have a good argument just for the sake of just wasting time, okay? So let's just waste some time together. And let's look at some theology, because some people would say, well, you can't get baptized until you do your 10 points and you've got to figure it all out. Not only that, you know, a lot of people would say, well, this guy's salvation is useless because he knows nothing about Jesus. He's heard about him for 30 minutes. Maybe a 30-minute conversation, he hears the good news that Jesus loves him in his brokenness. Who knows if he became a eunuch by his own volition or he was forced in this place. All we know is he is an outcast of society. Philip meets him and says, Jesus loves you so much. He died for you. He rose again. He wants to give you a fresh start. This eunuch goes, I want that Jesus. Then he says, I want to be baptized. And Philip goes, okay, let's pull over. There's some water. Baptizes him. As he comes out of the baptismal waters, Philip disappears. There's zero follow-up. There is no next steps area. There is no Bible to give the eunuch. There's no scriptures. This is theologically ridiculous. How on earth could he be discipled? I looked for more scripture. There's no more. It says that he went away rejoicing. And God knew that his revelation from the Holy Spirit, understanding of the truth of the gospel, was enough for this Ethiopian eunuch to go back to the queen of Ethiopia and spread the good news. He didn't need Philip. Philip's on his way to Azotus. Best place. Best place. John 3:16, it's so simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The simplicity of the gospel. Why, oh why, have we loaded it up, bogged it down, made people jump through hoops? When it's so simple. Just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Yeah, I know. Some of you, you're already getting your scriptures together to fight me in the foyer. Matthew 28:19, but Jesus said, then Jesus came to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, teach them everything. Philip failed. He didn't do any of that. But the eunuch got saved and his life was transformed and he went away rejoicing, knowing that God loved him. And they say it's the eunuch man, went back to Ethiopia and brought the gospel there. Man, I think sometimes we limit God. Reality is, one moment of Holy Spirit revelation of Jesus Christ can transform a life forever. One moment. We've met those people, haven't we? Those people that come into church, they give their hearts to Jesus, and then all of a sudden their life was this way, then it's this way, and they never turn back, right? It's so interesting that in the scriptures, in 2 Peter 3:8 to 9, it says this, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Sometimes we read this scripture talking about, oh, some people are really slow. But understand, one day is like 1,000 years to God. Some moments with God are like 1,000 years of understanding too. God can do things really quickly if he wants. Don't underestimate his timing. Don't underestimate him. God can transform your life. I wish more people were transformed like this eunuch. I wish as a pastor, people who said, I want Jesus, their lives would literally turn around and then boom, that way, okay? As a pastor, that would be so easy. But so many people are slow. I'm like, come on, speed it up a little. You know, God's heart is for all mankind, and it doesn't matter if the transformation's slow or fast. Understand, when the Holy Spirit brings a revelation, my word, God can just do so much more than we could ever imagine. The Holy Spirit is beyond us. I think sometimes we don't even invite our friends to church because we go, oh gosh, it's going to be a long journey. They're going to need a lot of work. My pastor's going to tell me to disciple them. I don't have the time. Pray for a quick transformation. Invite them anyway. Because the Holy Spirit can do it. Sometimes I think we don't invite people to church because we think, oh my gosh, I've got to save my friend. No, you don't. You don't have to die on a cross. That's been done. Thank God for that. You'd wuss out. So would I. But we actually put salvation on our shoulders for the lost instead of just sharing the good news and allowing the Holy Spirit to completely transform a person. I've heard so many stories in my lifetime of just how God has changed entire areas and regions just because of one person that just got a glimpse, a moment with God, just a revelation of the Holy Spirit revealing who Jesus is. That was enough. I showed a video a few weeks ago of Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist in Africa. Millions of people coming to Christ. There's a video on YouTube that actually was brought to me by Tim Hoffman. He said, I went down a rabbit hole looking at Reinhard Bonnke and all the things that he's done. And he said, there's a YouTube clip about the evangelist David. And I'm not going to show it today because it goes for 15 minutes, okay? We don't have time for that, but I'm going to paraphrase it. And if you want to go watch it to back up what I'm saying, feel free, okay? But the story goes that Reinhard Bonnke was out in a field in Africa doing a bit of an evangelistic, one of his massive evangelism outreaches, hundreds of thousands of people there. And at the end of the night, he's sharing this story. He's driving through this giant grass heading home, and they call elephant grass or something, and he's driving home. All of a sudden, this African man jumps out in front of his vehicle late at night, and he's like, pulls up, and he's like, oh my gosh, what's this guy want? And this guy goes, I've just been in your service. I've just received Jesus. Give me whatever you have. I want it. And so Reinhard prays for this guy and says, oh, what's your name? David. Okay. Prays for this young guy, and the guy just disappears into the night. Now, a few months later, Reinhard starts hearing about a revival happening in a certain part of Africa. People are getting saved, healed, miracles are happening, crazy stories. And Reinhard knows nothing about it. And everyone's like, who is this guy who's preaching the gospel? And it gets back to Reinhard. It's a guy named David. And so he gets to meet up with David, and he's like, what's going on? He went back to his village, and apparently in their custom, you're not allowed to talk to women, but there was this woman who was crippled. He just went and said, can I pray for you? She gets miraculously healed, okay? So she's like, oh my gosh, who have you done this in? Jesus' name, okay? So then she goes to the chief of this village who has, I think it's a daughter or a son who's also very sick, prays for the chief's son or daughter. They get healed miraculously, and the chief said, you're going to stay here and preach the gospel for the next couple of weeks, and the entire area is just getting saved for Jesus, right? And it was funny, Reinhard was like, actually caught up with him and said, what are you preaching? And his guy David goes, every message I've ever heard you preach. Is it amazing? just a moment with God, a revelation of who Jesus is. We don't have to know everything, but if you're teaching and preaching the good news of Jesus, I just think you've just got to remember, in a moment, like the eunuch from Ethiopia, your life can be changed. People can leave rejoicing, knowing their life is right with God, all right? Another story that always comes, I might have shared this a couple of years ago. I've got a picture here of this little boy here and myself. Don't freak out. Yes, that's me. And so this was actually a very pixelated picture. I'm really sorry about that because I don't have the real photo. It's just on Facebook. I found it. This little boy, his name is Carlito. I reckon I shared this a couple of years ago when we were first here, but I was in the Dominican Republic and met this kid on a beach shining shoes. And he was dehydrated. He was going through a lot. And he would have all, I reckon he was about 6 years old, 7 years old. And when talking to this kid through an interpreter, we're like, why are you here? And he said, I have to make money for the children. And we're like, this is crazy. And with compassion staff that work with these kids in the area, we were able to get him a big thing of food, a backpack full of food. We were able to find out what village or what area he's from over in the Dominican. When he told us what area he's from, our leaders were like, this kid cannot live there. Like, that's the roughest gang-filled area ever. Like, it's insane. But we're going to test the kid. We'll take him to a bus stop and see if he goes to the right bus to go into that area, because he just wanted to make sure he wasn't lying to us. And so we rock up to the bus station, and sure enough, he goes straight to the bus where he needs to go. But the bus isn't going for a bit of time, so we actually comes back and we have lunch with this little boy, Carlito, and through an interpreter, we start talking to him about where he comes from. And one of the leaders goes, Carlito, do you go to a church? And he goes, yes. Yes, I do. And the leaders, we start asking, oh, because we're thinking, why would this little boy go to a church in this really rough area and we don't know what the church is or whatever? And we're like, do your friends go to church, Carlito? He's like, no. Do your parents go to church? No. Do your grandparents go to church? Is that why you go to church, Carlito? No. And we're like, literally, there's a group of us Aussies trying to ask this, trying to get to the bottom of why this kid would go to church. Is there a kids' church there? No. Like, literally every... Finally, I remember the team leaders goes, Carlito, why do you go to church? And he looks at us like idiots. He looks at us like a bunch of idiots. He goes, God speaks to me there. Of course he does. Because the Holy Spirit is beyond what we think we can do. The Holy Spirit has stirred a little kid in a really rough area to go to church. He has a full revelation of Jesus. I don't know how or why, but we sometimes limit God because we think we're the saviors. No, we're not the saviors. We're saved, and we're here to share the good news that we're saved. It's got to be a huge encouragement for us today when it comes to the gospel in our daily lives. Don't stop sharing the good news, sowing the seed of what Jesus did. You never know where it's going to sprout up or that next person that brings in the harvest. Jesus wasn't lying to Nicodemus, the religious leader, when he said that whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. The Holy Spirit is constantly on the move. He will use anything or anyone to reach the lost. Just so you know, being a Christian isn't joining a club. It's not about paying 10% of your money to a club for some kind of community. Being a Christian or following Jesus is about your life being flipped on its head, upside down, turned around to never ever be the same again. To be in relationship and connection with a living God that can speak to you and guide you in your life. You can have a peace where everyone else is freaking out. It's so much more than just coming on Sunday. Stop coming if you're coming for a club experience. Go to Stratty. You know, as I was looking at this word, Beck's like, stop saying it. Maybe they'll go and spread the good news. While you're sitting here today, I want you to imagine someone right now that you could never, ever, 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 ever picture to know Jesus. I want you to picture, I'll just go there. Some of you just thought of a family member. Some of you thought about Christmas lunch and the people you sit across from. The person you least expect ever to know Jesus Now I want you to ignite your faith again to understand that God loves them enough to see their life transformed. Like, with the Holy Spirit, God can do it. With you trying to save them, that's going to be bad. Really bad. Because you're going to try and show them what it means to be good, and they're going to go, ah, you stuffed it. It's not about being good. It's about knowing God. Loving God, loving people. We're going to go into chapter 9 right now, one of the greatest transformations of all time. This highlights that no one is too lost that they can't be found. No one's too far gone that they can't be having their lives restored with Jesus. Like, there is literally not one person on the face of the planet that cannot be redeemed by Jesus. Not one person. Not Putin. Not anyone that we deem as the enemy. In fact, they are the perfect candidates for Jesus. Because we see this in this passage of Scripture. 2 weeks ago, we heard of this religious leader named Saul that we reminded of that, you know, he was a zealous, outworking Jewish law-making man. Like, he just outworked the law. And he was the first to put to death the first martyr for Christ, Stephen. We see from that moment on, he continues to destroy families, arrest men and women, sentence early believers to their death because of his passion to protect the Jewish custom and tradition. He wanted to wipe them out completely because he believed wholeheartedly that the people of the way had false doctrine, okay? If you're a Jewish man, a Jewish leader, a Pharisee, your entire life is about outworking the law. You don't just read the law, you outwork the law. And you know what? I've read quite a few sort of commentaries and theological studies on this moment, why Saul may have been so passionate about killing Christians. Because back in Numbers 25:9, there's this moment where the Israelites are being punished and dying because of their sin, okay? And I want to read this passage. I want you to understand this is probably the mindset that Saul had in this early stage. The same mindset to try and stop this evil happening so that Israel would be blessed again. It says this, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men who began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to sacrifices to their gods. So sexual immorality is happening. The people ate the sacrificial meal and bowed down before these gods. So Israel yoked themselves to Baal and Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your people who have yoked themselves to Baal or Peor. So pretty much anyone who's worshipping another god, you got to kill these guys because it's bringing a curse on the nation. Then an Israelite man brought into the camp a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear in both of them, right through the Israelite man and into the woman's stomach. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. So Phinehas stopped a plague because he killed people who were worshipping other gods. This is this Jewish God. This is really interesting, isn't it? Like, go and kill. I mean, this is hectic stuff. But understand that Saul believed this wholeheartedly. This is what he needed to do. Like, man, we got to put a stop to this. We got to kill anyone who's bringing false doctrine, people who are doing the wrong thing. We got to shut this down because we need to protect God and his law. He had righteous anger. He was so passionate about this Old Testament ruling. And it says this in Acts 9:1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, these are people that follow Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. Understand that word, Lord. We remember this word, Adonai. We talked about it a few series ago. Adonai, this is the Lord that they worship, the God, the highest one, the only one above all things, Adonai. He's like, who are you, Adonai? The Jewish God, who are you? And the response is, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. By the way, this is not the same Ananias from a couple of weeks ago that died, okay? Sometimes it gets a bit confusing. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. That baptism thing again, right there. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Can we understand this transformation? Like, this is insane. We just read over this, oh yeah, whatever. Only a moment ago, he's killing these people. Now he's preaching about Jesus. All those who had heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem amongst those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy amongst the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan day by night and night. They kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But then Barnabas took him and brought him in to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Talk about coming to the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He is light. If you've got people in your world that are looking for spirituality right now, can I tell you, just tell them that Jesus is light. Talk about Jesus being the light. They can't deny it. They cannot deny it because Jesus is constantly revealing to them that he is the light, that he is the Christ, he is the one. Doesn't matter what journey they're on, bring him to Jesus. Bring him to Jesus. I still remember the moment where I picked up a hitchhiker, dude with massive dreadies, got in my car, opened my door and went, holy F, there's so much love and light in this car. Like literally drops an F-bomb, just holy, there's so much love and light in this car, man. And I remember saying, it's just Jesus. And he goes, Jesus, you believe in God? So I'm like, yeah. And he goes, come on. he'd been in cars where he talked about how dark they'd been. He'd been in the jungle up around Cairns, up in the Daintree, trying to worship and find God. And hitchhiking home, jumped in a car where Jesus was, and he couldn't help but just go, that's him. It's so exciting. He is the light of the world. And he is still shining bright through you and I. People see the light on your life every day and they don't know what it is. Just say, oh, it's just Jesus. I love that even the early church, I mean, Saul is converted and the early church are like, no, you're not. You would kill it. No, you can't be part of us. They put limitations on Saul, and then there was Barnabas went, yeah, all right, you can come in. Thank God for Barnabas. You're worthy of Jesus. You know, Saul, if you didn't know this, or we know him as Paul, ended up changing his name down the track, wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He wrote Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, Philemon, Galatians, Philippians 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. His life transformation in a moment with the light, we draw inspiration from. It's amazing. He's an inspiration to us as Christians. So maybe you're here today. This is what I want to encourage you in. Maybe you're in darkness right now. Come to the light. Maybe you are so, like, you are in a hole of darkness. Come to the light. You're not too far gone. No one's too far gone. Be like, oh, as I just did this week, complete stuff. Doesn't matter. Come to the light. That's the good news. John 3:17, after he said, whoever should believe, says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Feeling condemned today? You don't need to be. You can be free of condemnation. Come to the light. Come to the light. You don't have to feel condemned anymore. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You haven't believed in Jesus. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light because of their deeds that were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Come to the light. Come to the light. Live in the light. Get rid of your darkness. Start to shine again. Come to the light. Be set free. It's simple. You don't have to know everything. You just have to believe. Whoever believes gets eternal life. So we're going to pray right now. I want everyone to stand right. I want everyone to stand right now. Whosoever believes, whatever your situation, just with your eyes shut, I want you to focus on Jesus for a moment. I'm going to repent right now if I've made it too complicated for you to receive Jesus before. Gosh, all you got to do is, God, I need you. I believe in you, Jesus. I know you are the Son of God. I know you died on a cross, rose again. I want to follow you. I believe. That's it. If that's you today, and just you just want to go, I'm coming to the light, just put up your hand real quick, cross the road. Yep, see it across there. Yep, yep. It's great. Come to the light. It's come to the light. There's more of you. Just want light in your life. You're in the dark place. You need to be set free. You need to actually have an experience with the light. You need light in your life. Throw up your hand. I want to pray for you. And there's more people across here today. I just want to pray for those that need the light. Yep, yep. See your hand. That's great. And I want... So Jesus, set them free. Shine your light again. May light shine in the dark places. Expose those things that need to be exposed to bring about freedom. Holy Spirit, you're on the move. You do the saving. You've revealed it. God, may we share your love and your light in our community. Should we get over ourselves and try not to complicate it and make people jump through hoops? We invite them to church because they need Jesus. God, may you not limit us to limiting who can get to know Jesus and who can't. God, I pray this week you restore our faith to believe that our families can be saved. relatives can be saved, that our workmates can be saved. Give us the faith again to step out and believe that God, your Holy Spirit's on the move. God, you turned Saul's life around in a moment. The light broke through, and may the light break through in the Redlands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.